Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Serve God, and we hope that something that we say or pray or sing together would draw you into a closer communion with the God who created all things. This morning, we're just doing a sort of solo, standalone sermon series, which is good because we're talking about the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, and it's going to be kind of hot in here for me as we talk about the potential end of all things in creation, or perhaps just the beginning of something very exciting in the world today. I want to encourage you, if you haven't already, to take a moment to fill out the connection cards. They're stuffed into the bulletins, but hopefully you received one from our ushers as you walked into church this morning. If you want to take a moment to fill that out, we would be so happy to receive that information. You can slip them into the offering plate later on in the service when that gets passed on by. In addition to that, there are yellow prayer cards in the pew back in front of you. If you have a moment and would like to fill those out, we encourage you to do so. If there's anything that we can be praying for you or alongside you about, we encourage you to just take a moment to fill that out. And we feel really humbled, honestly, to be praying alongside you about the things that matter dearly to your heart. This morning, we're excited to be gathering together. I want to share with you a couple of announcements as we get started this morning. There's going to be a young adult group for folks in their 20s and 30s to gather. The first planning meeting will be a sort of pizza party this Wednesday, April 10th at 7 p.m. So if you know folks who are in their 20s and 30s who are interested in gathering in this group, we encourage you to let them know, invite them. They'll be welcome. We'll have food for everybody. And we'll just talk about how we want to do ministry together. There's going to be a new member class for those of you who are looking to make this your spiritual home. We encourage you to let us know. The first class will be April 14th, so next Sunday, if you're interested in joining us for that. And then it'll continue April 21st from 5 to 6:30 p.m. All of us clergy will be there teaching the class. And even if you're not sure if you're ready to make the decision to make this your spiritual home, we encourage you to come. It's fine to take the class. You'll get to learn what United Methodism is all about. And then at the conclusion of that time, you can decide whether or not you feel ready to make this your spiritual home at that point. I want to let you know that next Sunday, we are going to be celebrating United Methodist Camping. It's United Methodist Camp Sunday. So we encourage you to join us next Sunday for worship. The last thing I want to share with you is we have two awesome new staff, and sorry, this will be a surprise to our folks in the tech booth, but I want to share this also. Charlotte and Olivia, Charlotte Miles and Olivia Shaw, have joined our staff as nursery care workers, and we are so excited to be reopening the nursery so that our littlest disciples can be present in worship. And in addition to that, parents who are excited to like have complete thoughts, you know, will be able to be present in worship in body, mind, and spirit. Of course, folks are welcome to use the family room in the back if they'd like to do that. But the nursery is open for anybody under the age of 3 years old. So we're excited to reopen the nursery for those folks. And Charlotte and Olivia are just like outstanding young adults who are excited to get connected to our church. And so we're very pleased to have them with us in that capacity as well. So with that, I encourage you to stand as you're able and join us in our opening song, Crown Him with Many Crowns. Let us stand and worship the Lord.
Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord Jesus, we come to worship today, seeking your presence in this life and looking forward to joining you in the heavenly realm you have promised. We long to be worthy of your gift. Show us how to live for you, reflecting your love in all that we do. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Scripture reading this morning is from Revelation 22, 12 to 21. See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, to repay according to everyone's work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. Outside are the dogs and sorcerers and fornicators and murderers and idolaters and everyone who loves and practices falsehood. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and Bride say, come, and let everyone who hears say, come. And let everyone who is thirsty come. Let anyone who wishes take the water of life as a gift. I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to them, God will add to that person the plagues described in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away that person's share in the tree of life and in the holy city, which are described in this book. The one who testifies to these things says, "Surely I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with all the saints. Amen." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much, Tom, for reading that scripture passage this morning. I invite you to join me now in the time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, and the one who went ahead of us to prepare a beautiful place in heaven for us all to someday reside. Amen. Well, I'm going to get myself in trouble, I think, this morning. Usually, the week after Easter, pastors love to talk about Doubting Thomas and or maybe the fish fry that took place on the shores of the Sea of Galilee after Jesus' resurrection, but I just decided it would be fun to preach on the book of Revelation, one of the most mystical and complicated texts in all of Scripture. It's filled and shrouded in mystery. If some of you came last week to Easter Sunday and you're like, why is Pastor John here again? The women are on a women's retreat. And so, you know, I think the statement is sort of like when cats are away, mice will play or something like that. So Lindsay's like, what would you like to preach on? And I'm like, let's give them Revelation. Let's see where we can go with this. And so this morning, I just wanted to ask the question because we are living in this time after Jesus was resurrected, this sort of in-between time that's been pretty extended, right? I mean, nearly 2,000 years have passed and Jesus had been raised from the dead. All of the disciples went out and spread the news of the resurrection and the teachings and life, death, and ministry of Jesus Christ. And we're living in this in-between time. There have been promises made that someday Jesus is going to come back again. And if you go to the internet and research all of the different times throughout history that somebody has gone through the trouble of reading all of the scriptures that are prophetic, that predict the future, and they sort of look for signs that maybe Jesus is coming back in the near future, and they're able to sort of make connections between current events that are happening in the world today and the prophecies that took place in the Old and New Testament, there have been over 300 times in history that famous people have sort of been able to pinpoint the date, the time, the hour, the place that the world is going to come to an end or that Jesus is going to come back and either destroy everything or build everything up. There's conflicting perspectives about exactly where this entire thing is going. Some of you who maybe are watching online or perhaps getting ready to hop in the car after service today to head south to somewhere along that squiggly line across the country are going to buy $2.99 glasses so that you can put them on and look up into the sky to watch the moon pass in front of the sun. For a moment, the entire, you know, part of the earth that you're in will go dark. And throughout history, solar eclipses have been one of those moments that people have sort of looked to as perhaps the end of the world, which was the other reason I thought it would be fun to preach on the end times on this particular day. I'm here to tell you that I think Jesus made himself fairly clear. Nobody knows the time of my arrival. Nobody knows when the end times are coming. Sure, it's fun to look for signs that this might be the end of all things. Sure, it adds a dimension of anxiety and fear, and it can be fairly convenient to get up. Even on Sunday mornings, there have been preachers who have made entire careers. They've written books. They've published those books. In some cases, they've made a fair amount of money on those books talking about the end of the universe. I don't know about you, but I don't exactly look forward to the kind of destruction, doom, and gloom that's so often associated with the end of all things. In the preceding chapter, John the Elder writes about a beautiful end of creation. He talks about the city of God, the beautiful creation of heaven, not necessarily being someplace else, but this dream that someday heaven might actually come down and be right here among humanity. Can you imagine what that would look like? A place where there's justice and peace and there isn't hunger or starvation or homelessness or people aren't sick, that there's the true reign of God right here on this planet. One of my favorite parts about the passage that Tom just read is when asked, like, what people ought to do to prepare for the end of the world, all that the author of Revelation has to offer is, maybe you ought to keep doing laundry. I don't know if you kept that or caught that in the scripture that we read today. And that's not like, you know, any sort of admonition to keep your clothes clean, but it said essentially, like, go home and wash your robes. It didn't say look up into the sky. It didn't say try to predict the end of the world. In fact, it doesn't necessarily even say, like, spend all of your time building bomb shelters or storing up food so that you can be prepared for the end of the world. If that's your thing, I respect it. I understand it. There are certainly reasons to be anxious about the things that are going on in the world today. There are threats that are real and legitimate and concerning. And yet in the book of Revelation, all that actually gets said is, like, keep doing your laundry, keep your clothes clean, because at some point, and we don't know when, God is going to make God's home amongst creation once again. And on that day, you don't necessarily want to have dirty clothes. Another way of putting it is, to quote one of the great Jewish theologians of our time, when he asked the question, what is piety? What does it mean to be pious? What does it mean to be faithful? It means that you have prepared yourself, your heart, your soul, your mind, your body, so that if God was standing right beside you, you would not feel like you don't belong in the presence of the divine. I've spent some time this week thinking about what that meant. If I was standing right next to God, right, and this promise were to come true, and instead of, like, us all getting on an elevator and getting evacuated up to heaven, if God said, I'm going to make my home among humanity once again, would I feel right standing in close proximity to the Creator of all things? I imagine myself rehearsing the lines like the child in the prodigal son who wants to come back to the father, like, God, I've made a bunch of mistakes along the way. I'm really sorry. Please forgive me. I don't know if I'm welcome. I'm happy to stand over here. Or like Adam and Eve, I'm hiding like behind the piano, you know, like, whoo. Piety is about preparing ourselves to be in the presence of God and not be ashamed, to trust wholly and completely in the divine grace that Jesus offered to us. I can't tell you whether or not things will get better or worse between here and there. In general, I'd love to believe that through the power of the church, through days like yesterday when there were 33 folks that went down to CASS Community Social Services to clean up trash around CASS and to help them prepare for the NFL draft who are going to send folks out to see the tiny homes in Detroit, I'd like to think that if everybody's doing their part, that creation is getting better, that we're moving somewhere as society, but I certainly don't fault you if you think things are falling apart and getting worse and things are more tense and anxious than they ever have been before. But I'm here to tell you that this I believe with all of my heart. God's in control of all of this. God is good. And I believe with all of my heart that no matter where things end up in the end times, no matter where things end up at the end of this story, it's going to be okay. There's a tremendous amount of fear-mongering, and as I mentioned earlier, sort of tongue-in-cheek, I've read a couple of articles who predict that tomorrow at roughly 2 o'clock or whenever the solar eclipse happens exactly, that will be the moment that Jesus returns in all of Jesus' glory and the end is near. So if I were you, I'd do some laundry. About 22% of Americans, so I imagine there are some folks in the room today, believe that the end times will take place sometime in their life. It's about 14% worldwide. So lots of folks are walking around with the understanding that sometime in this generation, in this particular time, they believe that the world is coming to an end. And maybe that's you. And as I mentioned before, I certainly understand there are signs all among us that the tension levels are rising. Perhaps you can point to a global conflict. Nearly 7% of the folks who believe that this end is coming believe that it will come as the result of nuclear war. And I'm guessing that there are folks in this room who had the opportunity in school to get underneath your desk and hide your head between your knees. And I've heard the expressions that you're essentially kissing your rear end goodbye as you got to do that. Because frankly, that wasn't going to do that much. The truth of the matter is there probably isn't a tremendous amount that we can do to prevent the events that could lead to the end of the world. And maybe that was true in John's time as well when he was writing the book of Revelation. He was writing this book probably around 95 AD. It was a time when there was a Roman Empire by the name of Domitius. You can look him up. He was one of the worst Roman empires in the history of the Roman Empire. He was considered widely to be narcissistic, self-centered, egotistical, unjust, unfair. He was violent. He was not afraid to put people to death unjustly. He was brutal. He was cruel. He was merciless. He was not a particularly kind guy. And at that particular time, there were folks who hypothesized that Jesus probably ought to come back right here and right now to put an end to this particular unjust ruler. And it's not necessarily hard for us to imagine ourselves in a situation similar, hoping like, I know I can't do anything to end Domitius's rule, but perhaps I can just take care of my own affairs, my own responsibilities, adopt this sort of stoic approach so that I know that if Jesus were to come back in my lifetime, I would be ready to see him face to face. And my encouragement to you in the modern era is to do the same. In this same passage from Revelation, John the Elder had a couple of other things to say. He said, there are among us folks who are dogs, sorcerers, fornicators, murderers, adulterers, and everyone who loves the practices of falsehood. There are among us folks who are walking a life that is dangerous, not only to themselves, but to others. In our midst, there are folks who are making bad decisions. But every once in a while, they come into contact with the risen Christ, the story of resurrection, and their lives are transformed. And they go from being ashamed, afraid to be in the presence of God, to having their eyes open, their hearts transformed and changed. And maybe at that point, they go and do their laundry to prepare themselves to be in the presence of God. This is my encouragement to you this day. That tomorrow at roughly 2:00, when folks feel like the world is ending and you look up and see something magnificent, a moment in sort of space, a moment in the outer space that sort of changes the way that we experience the sun's light, I hope that you'll take a moment and just reflect on the gift of life, of time, and the beauty of all of creation, of all of the wonderful gifts that we have in our world today, and ask yourself, do you feel ready and prepared to stand in the presence of God? Do you feel ready to give an account of your life before the Creator of all things? Are you proud of the way that you've used the time that you have? Are you thankful for the gift of life? I can't tell you when this whole thing will come to an end. And I don't mean to preach any form of like fear-mongering sermon. Because frankly, I have no idea. You can go on Wikipedia and see about 350 examples of famous people who have projected and predicted the end of the world. And so far, they're 0 for 350. What I can say is this. I trust with my whole heart that this entire thing is going somewhere and it's good, that God is in control, it's going to be okay. I believe with my whole heart that someday God will restore and recreate all things, that someday God will make God's home amongst humanity. It'll be like the Garden of Eden 2.0. better because we have lived through this time where the reality of human suffering, the struggle to provide resources for everybody, will have lived through all of the shortcomings, will live through violence and persecution and famine and the reign of Domitius and other unjust rulers, will have lived through all of these things, that when Jesus comes back, when God's reign is brought back into all of the things, we'll go, man, thank God we don't have to live like this anymore. I think it's going to be okay. And the reason why I believe that is because of last weekend, when we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus, and our spiritual ancestors had to wait hundreds of years, centuries, for Jesus' arrival, for his teachings, his life and death and resurrection. I believe with all of my heart that we, as we wait for the reign of God to be all amongst us, and whatever we have to go through to get from here to there, I trust with all of my heart it's going to be okay. I promise also not to publish any books projecting the end times. And this too, I promise never to allow fear to be the backing of the story that we tell about God. Throughout the scriptures, it says, some people have said, I haven't counted it myself, that the words fear not are in the scriptures over 300 times. I think God is calling us to be brave, but more importantly, to not neglect our day-to-day responsibilities of loving our neighbor and falling ever more in love with God at the expense of pursuing these fear tactics of suggesting that the end of the world is happening tomorrow. If it is, it's out of our control. And because I believe that it's not, I hope we all wash our clothes and prepare ourselves to be in the presence of the one who knows us all by name and can count the number of hairs on our head. Thanks be to God. Amen.
When the stars begin to fall. Today's altar flowers, the ones over on the organ, are given in celebration of Bob and Kay Lane's 55th wedding anniversary. Yay! So I appreciate Pastor John's sermon today, how it started with kind of a little bit of hellfire and damnation, and ended with a positive affirmation that we're all going to be okay. As I was thinking about my prayer today, I was thinking about how over the last couple months I've kind of been feeling a little bit down. I'm falling apart, and the wonders of the patient portal with your health and Dr. Google. That you can tell, like, some of your test results before the doctor actually tells you what the test results are, it's not a good thing. I don't think it's a good thing. Because I was up at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I really got myself into an anxiety and panic about my health. And I ended up texting my mom, and my mom, in her infinite wisdom, said, quit thinking that the glass is half empty, and think positively. And usually I think to myself when she says that, come on, Mom, I don't want to think positively. I just want to think negatively and everything's going badly. But I actually responded to her with a little lyric from a song that I had just heard. And it was, shine bright like a diamond. And I responded to her and I said, okay, Mom, I promise to shine bright like a diamond. So I kind of want you to think of a mantra that you can for positivity, and that's what my prayer is about today. So let's enter into time of prayer. You died for our sins, Lord, and you rose from the dead. We continue to celebrate this miracle as in these days after Easter, we shout to you with excitement and enthusiasm, being able to hear of this wonderful event and give witness to the glory of it every year at this time. It rejuvenates us and reminds us of the possibilities in the world. And in your glory, we shine bright like a diamond. But Lord, you know that sometimes, maybe a lot of the time, things do not go the way we want them to, that life throws us a curveball. Sometimes we recover easily, and it is just a small bump in the road. But at times, hopelessness and anxiety, they can blind us from what is out there that we should be thankful for. They overtake us, and the darkness comes in to try to extinguish your light. Bring to our hearts, Lord, in the times when it is the most difficult, a sense of hope, a light at the end of the tunnel, a light so bright that we cannot possibly miss it. A light that shines down and illuminates all that can help us, all that can bring us hope, all of the possibilities. Bring to us peace, Lord, when our fear is crippling, when our minds are filled with the negative, what might happen, instead of the positive outlooks. Our anxiety rears its evil head and can make it hard to function. We pray for calm reassurance. Help us to remember that you are in charge. You said, be not afraid, for you are with us. That you have a plan, and that even though we may not understand it, that doesn't mean that we are out of control. You are steering the ship. And outside of ourselves, we pray for those that are experiencing feelings of being out of control and helplessness alongside of us in the world. From war-torn locations and countries experiencing famine, those people in the path of natural disasters or terrible accidents, people who don't know where their next meal is coming from or where they will lay their heads tonight. We pray for comfort for those experiencing loss and grief. We pray for those suffering addiction or facing difficult diagnoses. Let us be the community that surrounds them with love and caring. We also pray today for Julie Hultgren and Mary Wingard, who are the recipients of our prayer quilts. that you comfort and care for them as only you can in their times of need. And even though we may not believe that we can be someone's light or a light for ourselves, help us to find a mantra that we can say over and over until we believe it. Give us the words to remind ourselves of what to do. Remind us of the goal. What to do while we are getting to the goal. Help us to shine bright like a diamond. And now let's take a minute to pray for our own thoughts. Now let's join our voices together in that one big prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And join in with me, like I promised my mom, and shine bright like a diamond.
Amen. We come to a time in the service where we have an opportunity to gather around the table that Jesus presided over. And as I reflect on those events of that Last Supper, I think about Jesus gathering with the disciples and telling them that in a little while he would no longer be with them. And I imagine that those words probably sounded like the end of all things to them. I'm sure that they would have sparked fear and hopelessness and concern and anxiety, conversations about who might betray Jesus. And so we gather around this table today, celebrating the presence of Christ in our midst, his life, his death, his ministry. And we remember that when Jesus gathered around the table, he took a loaf of bread and he said, "Take this and eat it as often as you can in remembrance of me. This is my body, which has been broken for you." And during that same meal, he took a cup and he lifted it in front of the disciples and he said, "This is my blood. Take it and drink it as often as you can. Drink it in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he gave thanks. He celebrated the relationships that he had with everybody around that table, and he led them into a deeper faith. And we proclaim this beautiful statement as we gather around the table that Jesus Christ himself died, Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and that someday Jesus will come again. Though we don't know the exact time. And so we say, "Come, Holy Spirit, transform these elements of bread and cup into something more than what they are. And transform us and make us be the body and love of your Son, Jesus Christ, as we go out into the world trying to transform the world in Jesus' name. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes again in final victory and we feast at this heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with your Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen." You don't have to be a member of this or any other church to receive these elements of grace. We practice what's called an open table in the United Methodist Church, which means that all you have to have is a desire to know God inside your heart to come forward to receive these gifts. This table is open to you. In just a moment, the communion servers will come forward and help us in distributing the elements, and the ushers will invite you to come forward by the radial aisles, and then you'll be able to go back by the center aisles. And as we do so, I pray that you would have this moment to receive communion, to be reminded that God is in control, that we feast at this heavenly banquet. This is a foretaste of the hope that we have of someday being reconciled to God in heaven, that someday we will have communion with God, that we'll feast at this heavenly banquet. All has been made ready. would you please come and feast at this heavenly and eat at this heavenly feast? Will those who are assisting communion please come forward at this time? A couple of decades ago, the United Methodist Church did probably one of the most United Methodist things ever. They commissioned a group of people to study what communion was all about. And the highest legislative body, the General Conference, is the only group that could do that. And so they called hundreds of people together and went to seminaries all across the country and all around the world, talking to folks about what communion means. And most of us know that it was a reminder of the Last Supper. We continue to receive these elements of grace, and it's part of our celebration of Jesus' Last Supper amongst the disciples. But there were many other things that came out of that proclamation, and one of them is that this meal is supposed to be a foretaste of what's to come in heaven. It's something that orients us towards the future, a time when God's reign is made manifest all across creation. And I don't know that we always think about that. I don't know that we always wrestle with the fact that this meal is an opportunity for us to imagine what God's table in heaven looks like for us, a place where everyone's fed, a place where we're together, a place that everyone is welcomed to the feast. May this experience of receiving communion this morning be a blessing to you and a reminder that at God's table, everyone is welcome. Thanks be to God for this great mystery of our faith. At this time, we have an opportunity to respond to God's presence in our lives through the giving of our tithes and our offerings. If this is your first Sunday with us, please feel no obligation to give. Your presence in and of itself is a gift. If this is your spiritual home, we invite you to give generously so that the ministries of our church can continue to be a blessing. This morning, we celebrated the new staff members that we have down in the nursery. We're thankful for an incredible Holy Week. We're grateful that the women of our church are on retreat right now, and we pray for their blessing. In a couple of weeks, the men of our church are going to go up north on a retreat as well that Gary Tobel and I have been planning for a couple months now. And I'm here to say that wonderful things are happening in our midst, and a lot of it is because of your extravagant generosity. So will the ushers please come forward and help us as we respond to God's good work in our lives. Amen.
Lord Jesus, we bring our offerings in gratitude for all that you have first given us. Accept and use them in bringing your gift of love to all. In your holy name we pray. Amen.
I trust that Jesus will come at whatever moment Jesus intends to. At the perfect time that God needs to be present in our lives, I trust and believe with all of my heart that God will be there. As you go out into the world, I pray that you would enjoy the solar eclipse, even if it's behind Michigan clouds. And I pray that as you go out into the world, you would celebrate that Jesus' resurrection transforms all things, and we can have hope even in the midst of this in-between time as we wait for Christ's final arrival and victory. We can trust with all of our hearts that God is in control. As you depart from this place, I pray that you go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.